And our theme scripture, which I'll really be dealing with the very last week, is in Revelation 12:10. And it said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. And this is the key phrase, because it says, now. That's the present tense. Now has come salvation. There's going to be a time when the angel declares, now has come salvation. All this coming to church, all this waiting, all this praying, all of this longing, there's coming a time when the angel says in a loud voice, now has come salvation. See, we are saved right now by faith. That means it is an expectation. We still have to fight every day. All the enemy and all the things that he's trying to do to take us down and depress us. But one of these days, the Bible says, the angel's going to say with a loud voice, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Every time you feel depressed, every time you feel oppression, that's the accuser. That's the accuser trying to take away the power out of your mind to make you don't even want to pray, to take away your strength, don't even want to come to church. But one day the Bible says the accuser of the brethren is going to be cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Amen. Well, the first week we talked about death of the spirit. We talked about the reasons why we need to be saved. And that was because when we were created originally a three-part being, a soul or the spirit of man placed in a body covered with God's spirit. But when man sinned, that spirit covering died and man just became a body and soul. And then last week we talked about who is our Savior. Who is our Savior? Jesus. Right. The only wise God, our Savior. Amen. There is none other. There's none other besides me. I will not share my glory with another. When you go to heaven, there's only going to be one throne, not three. There's only one God, and his name is one. Amen. Jesus, yes. Well, this week we're going to go a little bit deeper, and we're going to talk about what is our salvation? What are the things God is going to save us from? All the parts that need saving, amen. And then next week, God willing, we're going to talk about when is our salvation? When is it going to happen? How long, O Lord, holy and true, must we wait? That's what the souls under the altar in Revelation are crying out. How long? I mean, if you're tired of this world, you're saying, how long? I have no further ambition. I am not going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. Because I'm 60, so that's not going to happen. Amen. But I have another ambition. I don't want to have wasted coming to church every Sunday for all these years for praying to be at the last point to be missing out. But as I told the parable last week about Jesus said he went out, the husbandman went out, and he got some people early in the morning, and they agreed upon a wage, and at midday he got some more. And then 1 hour before closing, he got some more. And guess what? They all got the same pay. Amen. It's he that endureth to the end. It's where you are at the end. It's what's important. You can have done all kinds of great things, but if you're not there at the end, you don't win the race. You've seen that many times at the Olympics. Someone, they've done the four laps and they're coming up to the last 100 yards and they trip and fall. And everybody goes, the crowd gives a great gasp because they did so well. Bible says, who hath bewitched you, O foolish Galatians, that you don't run this race in vain? This is too soon to God's coming to get turned around, to get deceived, and to quit. Amen. So we're going to be talking about when is our salvation, and then also we're going to be talking about grace and faith. Amen. But today we're going to talk about what is our salvation. And I've got a subtitle, our ultimate nature. Ultimate nature. For some reason, young people, or let's say in their 20s, always ask me, will there be marriage in heaven? I wonder why they ask me that. You know, when I was their age, I wanted that too. There was all these things I wanted to accomplish. I wasn't so happy for Jesus to come now because I had all these things I wanted to get done. You know, I wanted to get married. And so... As we grow, we realize that certain things are not everything. But there is coming a time when the Bible says that we're going to be changed. We're going to go back to that glorified, glorified Son of God body. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." In what way are we the sons of God now? Obedience. True. But it's really by faith. We're sons of God by faith. We still have this decrepit, old, sin-natured body that we have to fight against. As I said last week, you go into the doctor's office, and he gets a rubber mallet, and he tells you to cross your legs, and he finds a little spot on your knee, and he taps it. And try as you might, your leg is going to kick. And I said, do not go into Dr. Satan's office. Because if you go in there, he knows exactly where to take the rubber mallet and hit the right spot to make you kick. So just, you know, don't go to hit him. You need to find a new doctor, Dr. Jesus. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Well, we're the sons of God by faith. The Bible said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. And that's what blows my mind. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. And those three words are so important, right? Because if you don't know, you don't have faith. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's one to meditate upon this week. Just keep telling the devil, listen, I know I'm in my flesh, I'm no good, but listen, one day I'm going to be like him when I see Jesus as he is. That's what the scripture declares. I am going to be just like him. That thought just astounds me that that's the promise that God has given every believer, that we're going to be just like Jesus. Amen. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As usual, I'm going to go just a little bit of review just to bring people up who missed some of the other lessons. Disobedience brought death. And the death that happened was the death of the spirit. That's what died first. That's why they realized in the garden that they were naked. They had been covered by the Shekinah glory. They looked just like Jesus did on the Mount of Transfiguration when his garments were so bright that the apostles couldn't look at him. But when they sinned, the first thing that died was that God's spirit covering. And so they could see now that they were naked. They had actually always been naked. You know, I have a Bible study that's called, and I haven't taught it in many years, and it was called, "Who Told You You Were Naked?" Because that's what God asked them, isn't it? When they were hiding, he said, "Who told you you were naked?" They realized that suddenly they were looking at themselves with new eyes, with our five senses. We start to look at ourselves and we make independent judgment. That is really the essence of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We stop living by faith in God's word and covering, and we start looking at the situation and saying, "Well, you know, I don't know if I can make it." You know, I always make the joke, come and sit in my chair. You can't see it, right? Who would come and sit in my chair? You know why? Because we're looking with our tree knowledge. That's what we gain when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We gain the ability to come up with our own judgment and decide whether, you know, I don't see no chair there. And we stop trusting God. We stop trusting God. Peter, I've been fishing all night. I haven't caught a thing. I've thrown the net down 10 times on either side. Jesus comes and he says, throw it down again. It's the same as sitting in my imaginary chair. You see no good reason. You use your judgment and say, well, I've done it 10 times and it didn't work. Why should it work now? You see, because that is what I call the tree knowledge. That's what we gained when Adam and Eve sinned. We made our own judgment. We judge God, actually, is what we're doing. We're saying it can't happen, despite what God's word said. And because of that, the Bible says we make the word of God of none effect, substituting with our own judgment. We no longer rely on faith. I've said before, and some of you remember this, when a baby is born, it's so innocent. All it knows to do is to cry when it's hungry. But if we were that baby in our adult form, we would say, you know what? I only see two breasts. What am I going to do tomorrow? We'd start to worry. Where's the milk going to come from tomorrow? Until I see 50 breasts line up, I know that's a bad image, but But that's how we are. A baby, all it knows to do right now, what? Is to be hungry and to be fed because it's innocent. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to trust. And that's so hard. It's so hard because we, in our physical senses, can see there's no chair there. But you know what God said? Underneath is the everlasting arms. Although we can't see it. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. The evidence of things not seen. And so we are having to learn to walk not by sight but by faith. Disobedience brought death. And so the first thing was the death of the spirit covering, and that was immediate. They immediately became aware, once that glory, that light disappeared from them, that they were naked. And then, of course, eventually would be the death of the body, though originally it was still hundreds of years. Genesis 5, remember I said last week, it always ends the same way. And Adam lived 800 years, and his total lifespan was 930 years, and he died. And it gives all these people, and they lived hundreds of years, but it still ended the same way. And he died. So once the spirit covering was gone, the death of the body was inevitable. I've used the illustration of corned beef. You can have a can of corned beef on the shelf for years. The moment you cut open the can, though, it's starting to die. And the proof of this, you leave it out for a while, you come in, you'll notice that something is different. That's our human nature. As we get older, sometimes we stink. Without God's Spirit preserving us, our attitude, our nature, our desires stink in God's sight. So the death of the body was going to be the next. That leaves what? What's left once the body has died? The soul. And the soul, being a spiritual entity, can't live in the physical world. It can only go one place, to the grave. It's not physical. People say, well, how can you be burning in hell and not die? Because what's in hell is not your body. It's not a physical thing. It's your soul. But it's still a place of torment. So the death of the soul would have completed the judgment that God had predicted. Didn't he say, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What we see happen here is God's mercy, because only the spirit covering died immediately and the body took hundreds of years, and God still tried to find a way to save the soul. You know, it's like you have a little kid and you tell him, don't touch the stove, it's hot. And you keep telling them, don't touch the stove, it's hot. And yet they go and touch the stove and they get burnt. Do you just let them cry? No, if you're a good parent, you're still going to try and do something. You're going to rush them and dip their hand in ice water or something to try and ease the pain. That's what God did for thousands of years until he could come up with the final plan to give us back a spirit covering. He came up with some temporary coverings. When Adam and Eve were hiding, the Bible said that they heard the voice of God in the cool of the day. And they said they hid because they were naked. So what did God have to do? They had made some fig leaves, but the fig leaves could not cover them. It covered the body, as I've said, but it could not cover the soul. So they were still hiding. They still felt guilty. See, guilt is not something on the outside. Guilt is something that comes from your inside. So although outwardly they were covered, inwardly they were feeling so terrible. They realized what had happened. They realized what it was they had actually lost. They had actually lost from being a son of God to having total dominion over this planet, to being able to do the exact same things, actually, that Jesus did. They were able to speak to the weather. Just as how we go up and we want it cool or hot, we go to the thermostat and we turn. They were able to talk to nature. I absolutely believe that. Adam was able to tell the animals, come here, sit down. And he was able to say, your name is lion. And the lion would nod and roar and go away. He had dominion. But when they lost that, they gave this up. So disobedience brought death. So God had a problem now. There are three parts originally to man. The spirit of man, which is his soul. The body. And then the spirit covering. And so this is what God had to fix. When we talk about what is our salvation, There are three parts to it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us this, and the very God of peace sanctify. What does sanctify mean? Set apart. Sometimes, and I was thinking about this morning, I was just feeling, I'll say the word dirty. I'll use the word dirty. I was trying to think, what did I do this week to feel this way? Did I do some overt sin? Was that something I did that made me feel all yuck? Because I really need church today. I really need a word today to make me clean. That's what I was feeling when I felt all, Lord, did I pray enough? What's wrong? I was so busy. And some of the busyness was actually doing God's work, but I was so busy that I didn't really take time this week as much as I'd like to really just have a one-to-one. At my workplace, every 2 weeks, my boss has a one-to-one. Everybody in his group, he tries to see them at least once every 2 weeks on a one-to-one, where it's just him and them, and he says, you got any issues? You know, sometimes we need to make time to have a one-to-one with God. So we see that we need to separate ourselves if we want to preserve all those parts. I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless, not innocent. There's a difference between being innocent and blameless. Innocent, you never did it. Blameless, you could have done it, but they're not putting any blame on you. In our case, we're guilty. But God is not imputing or accounting it, because he's put it on who? Jesus. Amen. So he says, your whole spirit and soul and body. And I've pointed this out before. We would normally, if we were going to say those three words, how would we say it? Say the three words. We'd say body, soul, and spirit. But Paul is very careful to not say it that way. He is saying it in the creation order. Notice, he says spirit, which was created first, right? Soul and body. He puts it in that order. Now, this is the verse that we never usually read, but the verse after it says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It's not us that's going to preserve our body, soul, and spirit. It's verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I can't preserve myself. I just proved it this week by, I'm trying to think, I can't think of anything overtly I did, but I just felt, you know what I lacked? I just didn't make enough, I was so busy. We get so busy with our lives, you know? Yesterday was just busy. The day before was just busy. I think we were doing stuff every evening, it just worked out that way. And so I didn't get the time I wanted. So we have to understand that we are a three-part being once we have been born again. So let's look at our salvation. God had a problem after Adam and Eve sinned. The spirit covering that made them a son of God had died, as I put it. And so now the body was going to die, and eventually, with no body, a soul was going to have to go to the place of the grave. So he had to come up with a three-part solution. Do you understand that? There is a three-part solution to the three-part problem. First of all, we need a cleansing for our sins. We're stuck with this body. As much as when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I've gotten pretty good at photoshopping. I do it for fun. You know, I have some cousins who are quite tall. And they came to visit me one time, and I was looking at the picture, and I was like this. And the lady, she's at least 6'2", 6 foot as well. And her, so I was like this. So I said, you know, I'm gonna Photoshop the picture. So just for fun, I went in there and messed with it so that I was taller than them. And then I sent it to them, you know, just out of fun. But unfortunately, you can't do that with our sins. You can't Photoshop them out, or our face. The Bible says you cannot, by thinking about it, make yourself taller, right? We cannot think about it. As much as they sell stuff to get rid of gray hair, it's not permanent. It comes back. Amen? But God has provided a solution for our sins. Yesterday, we took the van, the church van, over to get some work done on it. And the guy who was doing it, I think Sister Johnny gave me his contact information. And he had buffed out a lot of stuff, and then he was saying, I'm gonna fix your headlights too, because the van's quite old, and the headlights had gone all kind of cloudy. So I thought, oh wow, I want to see how he does this. So he got this can of some liquid and started, and as soon as he wiped it just one time, the front of the headlight just came clear as crystal. I was saying, what is that stuff? Is it? He says, well, I'm gonna tell you a trade secret. I'll tell you what it is. Brake fluid. So you don't have to go buy that expensive $30 can of it was brake fluid. He just, and it cleaned the glass. Jesus has got some special secret stuff that I said, well, will regular cleaning take it off? He says, no, because I've tried before with all kinds of cleaning stuff and it won't work. Only the blood of Jesus, only his death can clean sin. Only that can clean sin. You can take all the other bleach and stuff and it won't come off. And he just took this brake fluid and just went once. That's how Jesus' blood works, once. That's why we only baptize once. One time. If you do it right the first time, you don't have to baptize again, because he only died once. Once. Hebrews 9 said, once has he come to put away sin. So there's a three-part solution to our three-part problem. We were created a soul placed in a body covered with God's Spirit. And so there are three parts of us that need fixing. The cleansing of sins by baptism is for what part? The body. The body. When we're baptized, we physically go down into a tank, and symbolically, we're getting cleansed. We're getting cleansed. That part is for the body. That's why there's more than one step in this. Acts 22:16, here's one scripture I could have put many, says, and now why tarriest thou? In other words, why wait? This was the Apostle Paul speaking. He was telling of his own experience of how he got baptized. And he remember his story, he was on his way to Damascus to kill the Christians, right? And a bright light struck him down, and a voice came out of heaven saying, Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? And Paul said, who are you, Lord? And what did the voice say? It is I, Jesus. That's who the voice is. Jesus is God. He says, it is I, Jesus. And the voice told him what to do, that he was to go to Damascus and to wait there, and somebody would come and pray for him. And that person was Ananias. And when Ananias came, he said to Paul, why tarry? Why? What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized. Why? And wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So a lot of people today, and I've said this before, I didn't realize that there's some denominations that don't believe that baptism is necessary. They believe it's just a symbolic, purely symbolic gesture that we do symbolically. But actually, that's not what the Bible teaches. It actually has an actual salvation effect. In fact, Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. And then he repeated it again. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It has an actual salvation effect. Why tarry? Why are you waiting for, Paul? Arise, get up and be baptized and wash away. That's why we are baptized. Because it counts from God's perspective of cleansing the body. Now remember, this body is useless. It cannot, it's not going to be saved. It is going to die if we live long enough. But while we're in this body, we need it. I don't have a spare one lying around, do you? My wife said that would be scary. If you could go in the closet in the morning, pick out a fresh body. That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? But you see, we don't have a spare one. This is the only body until he gives us a new one. So guess what? We got to keep it up. You get a vehicle and you don't keep it up, what happens? It's going to quit on you, right? You never change the oil. You never put water in there. You just keep driving it. Eventually, it's going to quit on you. So God has given the mechanism of baptism for this temporary body because we're stuck with it until the time comes when he gives us the new body. So we need to be washed. And I said I saw an article in USA Today about what happens. I don't know if this person actually did it, but they were telling what would happen if you never had a bath or a shower for a year. And it was very, very, it was quite gross. They were describing all the things that would happen. And even if after that, it would take you a while to get back to normal if you did a whole year without having a shower or cleaning. Even after you start, it would take you a while. That just shows you that when people have been in sin a long time, when they come to God, some people think or use baptism, I said, as a rabbit's foot, as a magic wand. They think, okay, I'll come to church, I'll get baptized, and everything will be perfect from then on. No. You took years making a deep hole, and you think it's gonna be fixed overnight. No, it's a process. Salvation is a process. Amen. The next thing that needed fixing was, of course, our soul. Remember I said this is a three-part plan. So the sealing of the soul is by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:22 tells us that, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest, that means the deposit, of the Spirit in our hearts. The deposit is for the eventual brand new house we're going to get. Amen. I've been blessed, once really, to walk into an absolutely brand new house. And I've been blessed a couple times to walk into, or not walk into, but sit into a brand new car, right? And when you open that door, you take that, you got that new car smell, right? And some of us, we get the new car spray. That'll work too, right? But you understand, we're going to get a brand new body, a glorious body. That's what the Bible says. And to do that, he's given us the Holy Spirit as the deposit. Before you buy a house, you got to have a deposit. The Holy Spirit is our deposit. It's the earnest. Now, once you got that far, it's only to set the closing date. It's going to happen. You understand? Once the deposit and the contract's been signed, the next thing is they just set a closing date. So once we've been given the Holy Spirit, the Bible says it sealed us. There's a closing day coming for us to move into the glorified body, to get a new, brand new mansion. That's what Jesus said in John 14:6. You believe in God, believe also in me. If it were not so, I'd have told you, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. What he's speaking about, God is building us a new body. This body is no good. But while we're in it, we have to wash. We have to keep it up. We have to keep it clean spiritually. Baptism is the first step in that. Who hath also sealed us with the, and given us the earnest of the Spirit. So that's the Spirit. And then finally, the last part, of course, is when we get the new body. Redemption of the body, receiving a glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15:51 speaks about this. It says Paul is speaking to the Corinthians because they were concerned about what the future was going to hold. And he was saying, behold, I show you a mystery. It is a mystery how this is going to happen. We shall not all sleep. Not everyone is going to die. Somebody's going to be alive when this great promise, this greatest event in earth's history happens, when Jesus returns for his own. He says, not everyone's going to be dead. There's going to be people alive. Wouldn't it be something if it was us, this generation? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Isn't that something? I'm going to go and get a new body. What was I doing? Friday, we took some of the grandkids and we went down to Waukesha and we were paddling in a paddle boat. And it was much harder than it looked because the current was against us. And I was sweating by the time I went up and came back. And then we went on a four-person, you know, one of those four-person bikes that you can... Sorry, as they call them. And when I got off, this place here was hurt. It's still hurting me. You know, but I'm going to get a new body. I'm going to get it. That's our hope. This is what I'm talking about. What is our salvation? One part of our salvation is, behold, we're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to sleep. But we all are going to be changed. That's our hope. That's why we sorrow not as them that have. The Bible says, you sorrow not. You know, when we have loved ones that pass, yes, we're going to miss them. Yes, we're going to be sorrowful. But I did not cry as much as maybe some people thought I should have at either my father or mother's funeral, because I absolutely, absolutely know where they are. I don't have any doubt about it. The problem is now with me, not with them. We shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. Amen. So this is salvation. There's going to be a part for the body, which is baptism, and then the cleansing, the upkeep is what? Washing all by the word. That's why we come to church. It's like you have a car, and you it was brand new when you got it, and you never, ever cleaned it. What happens? See, when you come to church, you don't have to be baptized again, but the Bible says that the word washes you. That's what it does. So that's for the upkeep of this body. You come to church and you hear words, encouragement. You know, we missed the praise report. I just realized that. We missed the praise report. Anyone have a praise report? All right, very quick. Okay. Amen. Well, amen. So let it be written, so let it be done. If he can do that, amen. Sister Johnny, you had your hand up?
Yes, well, I just want to thank God for all the things he's been doing. And he's given me a new task, and I'm just waiting for it to come into fruition as to how he wants me to accomplish it. So I just thank God for speaking to me and directing me.
Amen. I know, Sister Anita, you were going to give a praise report. Go ahead. Amen, you have.
I'm just so grateful.
Amen. 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 Sister Michelle, and then Brother Leonardo. Okay, would you do the honors for me? Amen. Amen.
So just like I was telling First Lady this morning, I just wanted to say that Daddy has been very good to me, very, very good to me. I can't even tell it all of just what I've been going through these past 2 weeks alone, aside from getting an A in my Spanish class, which is a very, very hectic class. And I'm still getting an A. And then as I figured out this morning, there's only 4 days left. So I don't think my A is going anywhere anytime soon. So I hope it doesn't, because I do still have like 3 exams to take. There, like I said, I had so much that Daddy has been doing that I can't even tell it all. But I just know that from the moment that I've walked up in here in February to now, I have gone through and went through and endured so much, and I've actually overcame it all.
Amen.
Every last bit of it.
Amen.
Every last bit of it. The only thing that's really an issue right now, and I got a new doctor, but my appointment is not until the 27th. It was an appointment that I made a month ago, but because this is supposedly a really, really great doctor, they're booked up. So you have to book in a month. And so then the simplest thing, one more last thing, the simplest thing that came to me, but it's actually so profound. You can get the biggest lessons from God and the craziest things. So the crazy thing that happened to me just like the other day was I had a piece of popcorn stuck in my teeth. And y'all know how painful and irritating that is, no matter how much floss you use or whatever. So I decided to leave it alone, even though it was really, really bothering me. So I flicked it, did the flick of the tongue, and it came out immediately. But this is the kicker. It was so simple. It's a piece of popcorn. But God, the lesson that I got from God immediately is, with little effort from you, I can release something so hard. That seems to be so hard for you, but with little effort, I can release it for you. So it's all, you can get that lesson just from a piece of popcorn kernel. So I hope that with my testimony that y'all are blessed. I hope that y'all are encouraged, because I really, really did have a hard, hard 2 years. And I'm here, and God's light is shining through me. And with me being a young lady that is actually basically the only young lady in my age group in this church, I just hope that I serve as some kind of hope and a beacon of light and a pillar of strength for somebody up in this congregation.
Okay, amen, amen, amen. God is so merciful and gracious. Amen, amen. Brother Leonardo, very quickly. Oh, and Sister Janice. Go ahead.
Although I don't deserve what Jesus has done for me, what God has done, I just want to give them the thanks for allowing me to see another year. I turned 31 Monday, so I just want to say thank you.
Amen. Amen. Sister Janice.
Praise the Lord. I just want to thank God that I do not look like what I've been through. Amen. Because Amen. God is a deliverer. He's a restorer. He's a keeper. And being a single parent, and I thank God my kids are grown. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is a keeper. Amen. And I thank him for watching over them, that he kept me all these years. Now he said, it's time for you to enjoy your life, the goodness of the Lord, what he's got in store for me.
Amen.
So that's why I thank God that all the stuff I've been through, I don't look like what I've been through.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, sister. All right. I'm sorry about it. I completely forgot the praise reports. I'm so glad.
I need to praise God for my daughter.
Yes.
I mean, next week is her 30th birthday. When my husband and I first got together, they told us we couldn't have babies at all. And 4 babies later, but Hannah is one of my biggest blessings. I have 5 big blessings, actually. I have a daughter in heaven. There was Hannah and my daughter in heaven, and then the 2 boys, and I have a stepson who is mine all the way, you know, but she is the biggest blessing. I couldn't have asked or prayed for a blessing such as that. I always said she was my little golden child. When we had to go to Bronson, when my daughter was a preemie, and we'd go to Bronson, and I used to cry all the way up to Bronson because I left Hannah at home. And then I'd cry all the way home because I left Heather up there. And so I finally asked the nurses, can I bring Hannah with me, please? Well, we'll try it. We'll see how she is. So I would pack a little thing of goodies for her, specifically Cheerios. But she would travel all the way up there with me. And mind you, Heather was born, Hannah wasn't even a year old yet. And her first words were when we got back from the doctors, or from seeing Heather, and we'd been in the car all day long, her first words were a full sentence, "I want to go home." And the doctor heard it. He was amazed, and it's like, oh my gosh, that was her first words. But it was so trying on her, because here she is, an infant, instead of being able to run around and stuff, she's in a car seat, she's in a little stroller, you know, and visiting up there. But the nurses were always so amazed with Hannah, because she would sit there and she would visit with me and visit with her sister, and sometimes the nurses would take her out for a walk for me. And they had one of those little sweeper things, that the quiet sweeper things, and so they could pick up Hannah seeds. That's what they called the Cheerios, Hannah seeds. But she's an amazing blessing to me. So I am so grateful and blessed that God gave me her.
Amen. Well, she's been a blessing to us here too. She's volunteered to take over coordinating the nursery, and she's done an excellent job. So she's certainly been a blessing here. Amen.
Not that I've been not blessed with my boys, but,
you know. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Sister Sunita. All right, last one, Sister Sunita.
I would just like to thank God for just staying in my life and showing me that He is real. I was in and out of this church. I have been in this church for 20-something years, and I was in and out. When Pastor and Sister Brownie came, I stayed posted, and the devil started to attack me. And where I am now, I went through so much sickness, and now I don't have any problems.
Amen, amen, amen. Bible says they overcame by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I completely forgot about praise reports. Amen. Amen. Getting back to the lesson then, there were three different areas that God had to bring salvation. The body, the soul, and of course, the redemption and sealing of this with the Spirit. As I've pointed out, the reason is God couldn't save this body. Genesis 3:22 said, the Lord said, behold, a man has become as one of us to know good and evil. That means make our own minds up. You know, a little baby can't tell you wrong and right. But we are, you know, actually from where little, we start telling what we want to do. When we were at the paddling pool, Jason, I never seen him do that before. He put on one of these big boy faces that, I'm not going to, you know, his father had to really get on his case and say, you're going to mind up or else you're going to get, you know. He's only 2.5, 3, and he suddenly decided he was going to be the grown-up. Says, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. See, that's our spirit. That's our spirit. But the Bible said, unless you become like a little child, it really means like an infant. An infant. A baby can't tell you that. All it knows is to love. Amen. So he said, lest he take of the tree of life and live forever. So the body, Romans 8:10, is dead because of sin. We got to reckon this body dead. Dead. A dead body, you can kick it, right? It's not going to react. You can shout at it. You can spit on it. It's not going to react. So that's how you know if you're really dead yet. How do you react when people speak about you? If your body is truly dead, you're not going to react. That tells us we still have a ways to go. Because most of us want to give back exactly what we get. But if we're truly dead, as I said, like, we'll just smile sweetly and say, the Lord bless you. Isn't that what Jesus told the disciples? When you go to a town and they don't receive you, you just kick the dust off your feet, take your peace with you, and you go. That's what we need to do when some people are in our face. We just need to kick the dust off our feet, take our peace with us, and go. You don't need to try and argue with them or get upset, because the Bible says, Jesus says, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. We don't have to do anything. We're a child of God. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's why we need our bodies cleansed, because in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul was looking at himself in his flesh and thinking, man, if this is all there is, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble because I get angry. I still react. I'm not quite dead yet. I'm dead in trespasses and sins. And so although the body is destined for death, while we have to use it, God wants to preserve it. He does want to preserve it, and He wants us to keep it holy. That means you got to keep it clean. Right? As I said, the illustration, you buy a new car, you never, ever take it to the car wash. After a few winters, it's going to look as if it was 10 times older than it really is. Same thing with your body. We need to keep our bodies holy. And how we do that, what's the spiritual car wash? And where do you get the word? You can get the word at other places, but that's principally where we get the word, right? So you have to, if you don't go to the spiritual car wash, your body is going to get dirt. If you're not getting some word, if you're not going into the spiritual shower, the Bible says by the washing of the word. I mean, this is where I get my strength. When I hear testimonies of overcoming, how God has delivered, how God has uplifted, that encourages me. When I hear of, you know, Sister Johnny, you always have some victory testimony, you know. I said, wow, God can do it for her. He can do it for me.
Amen.
Amen. That's the washing of the word, and that's why we have baptism. Now, it only works, though, if someone has a true repentant spirit. Otherwise, all you're doing is getting wet and coming out. If you don't do it with the real understanding, and that's why we do not baptize babies, because there has to be repentance. We're quite happy to bless babies and dedicate babies, but a baby doesn't know wrong from right. A little six-month-year-old doesn't understand that. So you have to have true repentance to have a valid baptism. And it washes away all our sins. That's what it says. Now, why, Tarius, wait thou, arise and be baptized, wash away your sins. It symbolizes, when we go down in that water, according to Scripture, the death of the body. And when something is dead, guess what you can't do with? You can't take a dead corpse to the judge. You know why? It's dead. Death ends all contracts. Death ends all relationships. Satan cannot own you when you're dead. If you go down in that water and you wreck, the Bible says, reckon your body dead. When you rise out of that water, you should be dead to Satan. So you know what you're not to do? Who likes hanging around cemeteries and digging up bodies? But that's what some of us do. We go back to take up back our old man. We try and dig him up and make him alive again. No, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to leave that old man dead. Amen? Amen. Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism. That's what it symbolizes. When we are baptized, we are symbolically being buried just like Jesus was. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him, just as he arose 3 days later, through faith. Although we don't see that, you believe that by faith when you came out, that you, just as how Jesus arose out the grave, we are going to arise out of this body. Amen. Through the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Just to rushing. Now, again, this is another scripture that proves that baptism has a salvation effect. Peter gives the example of the flood of Noah. And he says about Noah preaching. He says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. That's speaking about Jesus, which sometime were disobedient. Speaking about those people who died before the flood. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved. What were they saved by? What does the scripture say? It says they were saved by what? Water. That was what saved them, because the water came down. And what did it do to the boat? It took the ark up, saving them from drowning. Verse 21 makes that explicit. It says the like figure, speaking about baptism, means the same symbol of water being saving in the Old Testament. Even baptism doth also what? Now save us. So it is important. It's not something that is just a symbol. Here it says baptism is part of saving. You know what part of you it saves? Tell me. Not the soul. The body. Remember, that's what I've been saying, that it's for the cleansing of the body. The spirit seals the soul. Baptism and the word is for the body. Do you all get it? That's why I told you there were three parts to this, Sister Johnny.
I just wanted to say, while we was talking about the ark, because, you know, in New Orleans, they have this thing about a lot of voodoo. And I realized everywhere we went, we saw these signs about, come on in here, voodoo this and voodoo that and voodoo this and voodoo that. So when me and Sister Janice was driving, we was riding at night, and all of a sudden, we saw this big old boat appear in the clouds. She saw it, I saw it, my sister saw it. We was like, wow. And it had a color of I can't describe it. It looked red, but it's something different than red. And I began to ponder on it. I was telling Sister Yvonne about it. But I began to ponder on it after I got back about, what does this really mean, Lord? Why did we see this? And the Lord spoke to me just the other day, and he told me, he said, while you was there, you was under the covering of the safety of the ark.
Amen. 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 That's exactly what happened in the ark, that they were saved by the same water that killed the people, saved them from drowning. I guess somebody, the creation research group, they've built a replica ark. I think it's in Ohio. You've seen it? I want to see. Yeah, maybe one of these days we'll plan a church trip to go see it. Amen. But they built a replica ark. It's the same length as the real ark, I think 400 and something feet. So in New Testament salvation, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and I know this is basic, but every now and then we need to be able to be able to defend what we believe. Amen. All of you who have been in church any amount of time, you should be able to explain why we need baptism. Yes. How we baptize. What is our salvation? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What just came back to me while I'm smiling was this. On the day of Pentecost, it said, and they were added to the church. There was about how many people? 3,000. Do you know it says that 3,000 people died on the same day of Pentecost, the first day of Pentecost, when the law was given? Go back in the Old Testament, you'll see it. 3,000 died under the law. 3,000 were saved when the Holy Spirit was given. So because they came up and touched the mountain. They didn't have a covering at that time. It's funny that it's the exact same number. And it was actually it was 50 days after Passover that the law was given. On the 50th day, the Holy Spirit came, right? And 3,000 souls were saved. Under the law, 3,000 died. Amen. Repent and be baptized. And that has to come first. You have to be sorry. Repentance means to turn around. It doesn't mean to cry. A lot of people think repentance is crying. No. It really means to turn around, to change. You know, I gave the example, someone slap you and say, oh, I'm sorry. And then they slap you again. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, that's what we're doing to Christ. That's what we're doing to Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, Lord. We're not really have a heart of repentance. We should be fighting all the time against sin. We should not give up and say, well, I can't help it. That's just me. No. No, you can fight against sin. You can separate yourself. As I said, you don't have to go into Dr. Satan's office to get tested, because you will fail. We will all fail. Amen. So salvation for the body I talked about. Now what about salvation for the soul? Let's look at what the scripture says. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation. As I see, we are sons of God by faith. We're waiting for it to be plain for our glorified body. For the creature was made subject to vanity. God allowed man to lose immortality. Vanity in this case means decay. God allowed it, not willingly, but he knew that this body was no good. It was sold under sin. It had to die. It's got to get a new body. Not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. And we see this, and I've taught this before, and it's such a great symbol. I'm going to not go into detail about it. But the Day of Atonement ceremony, we see this pictured, how God planned for eventual salvation. He brought the two goats. There were two goats, right, that were chosen. In Leviticus 16:15, then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands, in verse 21, upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel. You see, the two goats represents the two parts, the body and the soul. And it's the body that has all the sins put on it. And when they would take that one that all the sins were put in, and they would send it far away. They would separate, in other words. They would sanctify. The other body represents the soul, which is then killed and given back. That's the only time the blood is taken all the way in back to the in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And the other goat, which was represents the body, was sent far away to take away the iniquities as far as they could send it. You know what that happened on the day of Atonement? You had about 2 or 3 million of the tribes of Israel gathered around, and there was dead silence, waiting to see what would happen when the high priest went into the Ark of the Covenant. And I tell you, they had a rejoicing. They had a party when he came out, because he was still alive. And when he pronounced on them and he called over them the name of God, I'm sure they had a party, because they realized right at that minute they were now perfect. Perfect before God. Their sins had been washed away by taking away that goat. Jesus took away our sins on that cross when he said it's finished. If we understood, we'd have a party of rejoicing. I know I keep saying this, but one of these days we'll get it. Because the devil just keeps accusing us and putting us down and saying you're worthless and you failed and you messed up. But what he doesn't understand is the goat's dead. Isn't that what John the Baptist said? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away sins of the world. What you're really saying is that he didn't do that. You're calling him a liar. Jesus said, I took all the sins. He became our sin offering. Amen. And so this is what's revealed in the atonement ceremony, is that Jesus became the sin offering and he took away all our sins. If we have faith in his righteousness. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to hurry here. So our salvation is also a new body. Philippians 3:21, who shall change, he calls it vile. And that's true. He calls it, Paul calls it this vile body. Change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned into his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able, even, he's trying to make a point here, to subdue all things. The only one who can subdue this body is the Spirit of God. He's able to subdue even all things unto himself. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. I love that. We are going to be changed into that same image from glory to glory. We are going to be changed. We're going to be changed. We're going to get back that spirit covering. We're going to look like Adam and Eve. When you look at me, all you'll see is light. When I look at you, all I'll see is light. Hallelujah. We will be changed into that image from glory to glory. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, no more subject to death. Again, he says, we shall all be changed. We shall be changed. What is our salvation? For we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. I said that last week. Remember, if I died, I told her not to spend any money on the funeral. We have a building. This is only my temporary car. I'm getting a brand new model. And it's going to be new forever. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Sister Anita, you're going to get a brand new body. I don't know what you look like when you were 20, but it's going to be even better than that. Amen. Amen. There's no amount of exercise can get us back to certain ages. I'm trying. All it's doing is giving me pain. But we are going to have a body eternal in the heavens. Again, I'm going to end with this. Beloved, now, if you could stand with me. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But here's the key. Can you say these three words with me? But we know.
But we know.
Say it like you mean it.
But we know.
But we know.
But we know.
Amen. That when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, this whole verse again is one of those verses you got to understand the but we know part. If you don't know the but we know part, the rest of it is useless. But if you can say, but we know, but we know, but we know. See, that's knowing to the point of a fact. That's knowing to the point of no disputation. That's knowing to the point where the devil can't talk you out of it, where friends can't talk you out of it, where the devil and his angels can't dissuade you from the fact. But listen, but we know. Amen. Hallelujah. When you know that you know, then you have arrived. Amen. That we shall, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That's my hope. That's my goal. That's my belief. Amen. And we need to get to that point where we can say, but we know. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. Help it to edify as we continue this salvation, this process of growth. Hallelujah, that we will draw nearer to you, grow stronger in you, that we will be edified. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the word today. Let it find good soil. Lord, we ask you to...